Sounds like yours might be too. Brother, I got all kinds of stuff up here. Brother Chuck is Pastor Chuck now. Yeah. That's a little hard for me. Pastor Chuck is one of those guys that, you know, when we were in Mexico, and I get this phone call. He says, "Well, I heard about you and what you're doing in Mexico, and I would like to come down and see it." And I said, "Okay, you can come. But that's about it." But like he said, that started a 34-year friendship. And Chuck is one of the few people that I really, truly call a true friend. And he's been a friend of ours for all these years. He acts like I'm the only one that did it. You know, I'm the one that did things for him. But he opened a lot of doors for us too, and has been a real blessing in our ministry all these years also. And but when he came to Mexico that first time, he brought a couple other guys with him, and we were busy at that time. We had about 100 churches, and we had a Bible school and a few other things going on, the orphanage and a few things like that we were doing. And he arrived I think just before our lunch, and so I said, "Great, you know, I met him." They actually arrived late, you know, which is something that God has been dealing with me on. So that's why he keeps sending me to all these Spanish-speaking countries so that I can learn patience. But so they arrived, and Maria had a meal ready for them, and so we went immediately. We ate the meal, and I said, "Okay, that's it, guys. You don't get any more rest." So we jumped in the car, and we went, and we held service, and then we went to another church and held another service, and we got in about 2 o'clock in the morning, and I said, "Now you can rest. At 6, we're leaving. We've got to go. We're putting a roof on a church building." And So they jumped in, and they never complained, and just did everything that I asked them to do, and so it has been a blessed time, and I think it was something that was orchestrated of God for that particular time. Before I go much further, I want to introduce my wife, Maria Luisa. And so if Maria Luisa would stand, she's the lovely thing in yellow back there. She's not a thing, she's my wife, but you know. Yeah. she could preach. And she does to me a lot. No, she does. So praise God for that. I want to do something just before. We one of the things that we believe in is honoring those that honor. And so even though we just, it's a very small token of our respect and honor for Chuck and Suzanne and the church here for the work that you're doing, what God has you doing here in Houston, and what God has you doing by your gifting to us and to the ministry in Spain. So I brought this little token of a gift. It actually has Chuck's name on it. Wow, what a deal. I got it right. So, Suzanne, you can open this. And yeah, you would. Yeah, if you would. This what in our city, the city of Granada. Granada is a city that was basically has had a lot of. Okay, that's all inlaid wood, and part of it is inlaid bone that they get from birds. But each piece of that is actually put in there, and they put it all together. They've been doing that for the last 1,500 years or so in our city, since 711. And it's an Arabic, Muslim type of thing that they do. Well, it's not Muslim, it's Arabic. And so it's very traditional in our city. They do a lot of things out of that, but I wanted to bring that just as a token from our city for our appreciation from what God is doing here. And you can see a couple other things out there on the table, as well as some handouts that we have and some prayer cards also, if you would like to get those. I want to show, if you will, just bear with me just a minute. It's 3 minutes and something long. If we could show that video quickly. It's just a little bit of a picture of what God's doing in the city of Granada. Iberian Ministries is the name that we gave to the ministry because we work in the Iberian Peninsula predominantly, although we've traveled to 81 countries ministering and working.
I want to set the world on fire.
There's the beginning of the new church that we started 3 years ago.
Come, you get me.
God. That's just a little bit of what God has been doing in the last several years and in that particular part of the world, and we are so grateful to Him for everything He's doing. I want to just share with you some things this morning along with some scriptures as we go along. And I know that if in the United States, if we're not out of here by the time the roast burns, then we're in trouble, you know. In Spain, we're done after the roast has burned. No, anyway, I bring greetings to you from Spain. Oh, there's a lovely family over there that were helped us actually get to Spain when we were moving back to Spain this last time. They helped us get the car loaded into the container so that they could ship it. It's actually cheaper for me to ship the car than it was to be able to buy one when I got there. And so we did that, and it was a blessing to us. But I do bring greetings from the church in Spain, from the people of Spain, and especially from Fuego Vivo, the particular congregation that we're starting 3 years ago. And I want to thank Pastor Chuck and Suzanne this morning for allowing us to come and share with you here and just to be able to be a part of this congregation and this morning. They are and always have been exceptional hosts for us and have always been instrumental in teaching this concept of honoring. They are very much into that. They honor people. And you know, so I think that we like to have friends like that. You know, I think I like to have friends like that. And I want to thank each one of you. Maria's already done that, but I want to thank you also for being a part of what God's doing in Spain through the offerings that the church has given in this last year and giving to that ministry. And while I'm at it, invite you to come see what God's doing there. Granada, Spain, you know, God blesses you. Amen? God blesses everyone and everyone that will receive those blessings. And when I was praying about going to Spain, because as Brother Chuck has said, we've ministered in different parts of Spain. The ministry actually grew at one point to where it was in, we were involved in ministering in over 40 nations at a particular time. And on the road all the time, ministering, starting churches, seeing God do things. But God especially blesses you if you have just let Him do it. And when we were praying about where we were going to go this time in Spain to begin the new ministry, God spoke to me about going to a city called Granada. I'd only been there once, felt that there was absolutely no need to ever return. I just wasn't impressed, didn't want to go back. And yet God just raised that city up and said, this is where you're to go. I learned a long time ago when God says, this is where you're to go, I just go. You know, my feelings are no longer relevant when God says, do something. I just want to do what God wants me to do. Amen? So we went to Granada, and you will want to come to Granada also. This year it was voted the most beautiful city in the country of Spain. Amen? So it's absolutely beautiful. It is. It's historical. It was. There was a Jewish settlement there many, many, many eons ago. And then the Romans also were settled there a little bit. But the main city was built by the Muslims, by the invaders who invaded Spain in 711. They built the main part of the city. And that city still stands today. Still today, you can come. You can walk through the old part of the city, and you can see the homes that were built starting in 711. They're still standing, still inhabited. It's a beautiful place to come and to see. There's a castle there called the Alhambra, which you can go visit, which was built in some time later. And then in January 2nd of 1492, the final battles had been fought. The Muslims were pushed out of Spain after 870 years of occupation. And the Spanish then took control of the city on January 2nd, 1492. And because of that, Christopher Columbus came and was petitioning, this was his third time, to ask the King and Queen of Spain for finances to be able to try to discover a new route to the Indies. And it was in the city. They rejected him again. And he took off and he was headed toward Portugal. He said, well, the Portuguese will give me the money. And so he was headed to Portugal, and the queen repented and decided that she needed to do something about that. So she sent for him. They caught up with him, brought him back. Long story short, they financed his journey, and he didn't discover America, but he came here. Okay, they would like to claim he discovered America, but we know it was here already. So that's that long story short. But if you come, we would love to show you around our beautiful city. We'd love to show you what God is doing in that city. And we'd love to show you the tremendous need that still exists in the city and in the province and in the nation of Spain. You are truly a valuable part of what God is doing to reach the lost in that particular part of the world. You may never set foot there, but the eternal impact you are having when you're reaching to those lives. And I would love to see you come sometime. Pastor Chuck and I have been friends for 34 years. Since the very beginning. It was one of those things that God orchestrated, and he's become a true friend. And not only of Marie and I personally, but also of the ministry, Iberian Ministries. And, to tell you how good a friend Brother Chuck is, every time he used to come to visit in Spain, he would bring one of those big old 5-gallon containers of peanut butter to my children. Now that's a friend. Because you couldn't buy peanut butter in Spain. So he would always buy that, and he'd bring that along with his pillow stuffed in his suitcase. But anyway, and he would have that. He would have those. I'm telling stories. See, he didn't get to tell them. So he would bring that peanut butter, and I appreciate that because it always made my children feel like that somebody really cared. So what I want to share with you today is something that happened to me not too long ago. Someone asked me, they said, "Wade, why are you a missionary?" Now, I could be a missionary. You could call it missionary. You can call it apostle. You can call it Dr. Weaver. You can call it peanut butter and jelly. I don't care. You know, you can do whatever you want to. But they asked me, "Why are you a missionary? Can't you see the tremendous need in America?" And I said, "Yes, I can. I definitely can. I can see the thousands upon thousands of people in America that need somebody to go and witness to them. I can see the hundreds and thousands of people that need someone to come alongside of them and just say that there is someone that cares for them. I can see that, and I understand that. But I also know that God has placed me in a different place. Amen? And I have to be faithful to the calling of God in my particular life. Over the years, we've seen a confirmation of what God has done and called and sent us to become workers in these foreign fields. Over the years, we've known his faithfulness. And I could give another answer as to why I'm a foreign missionary. I don't know that I need to necessarily justify it, but I'm trying to explain something because I want you to see where I believe that all of us actually fit in. And so part of what I see here is that another answer to that is that I see that God has called us. I know that God has called us. And there's really nothing else we could do. I mean, it's not like we don't have any training to do something else. I could do a lot of different things. But then I couldn't either. Because God said to go there and preach the gospel. And so we rejoice in being able to just follow after God. Amen? And, you can have titles all you want. But I'm simply interested in being known as a child of God. But more than to be a child of God, I'm interested in being an obedient child of God. I'm interested in not having God, but God having me. That's what I want. A lot of people have God on their bookshelf or have God on a Sunday morning. But I want God to have me. And when you allow God to have you, then you will be obedient to whatever he says for your life. Not all of you will come to Spain. Not all of you will go to the foreign mission field. But absolutely every one of you are in the ministry of reconciliation right here to reach the lost in your community. And we all play a part. And we all have something that we need to do. We started the ministry in our ministry when we began. We started in Mexico. God allowed us to see several churches get founded, an orphanage, Bible school. As I said, I'm trying to bring this down to something manageable. But over the years, we've seen those kinds of things happen where God began to build and God began to do things. The ministry spread to, like I said, over 40 nations. We ministered in over 81 nations with extensively doing things under specific things. But all that is the past. And I'm kind of with Paul. I believe in those things of the past, you just kind of let them go. They're there. I don't care whether they were victories or failures, you just let them go. Because you can't live in the failures and you can't live in the victories of the past. You need to be pressing on to the mark of what God has you doing today. Amen? You need to be striving for what God wants you to be doing in this future, in this time. And too often we find ourselves sitting back and glorying in the things that God has done through us and thinking, whoa, we've arrived. No, we haven't arrived. That's just the beginning of what God is wanting to do. And so when we were getting ready to go back to Spain, a man came up to me and he said, "Wade, how old are you?" I knew what he was trying to say. You know, I didn't have as much hair as I'd begin with, and I wasn't as thin as I used to be. And what hair I did have left was a little more gray than it was anything else. I knew what he was trying to say. Aren't you a little old? Isn't it about time for you to start considering to do something else? No, it's not time for me to consider to do something else. The answer to that question was this: I'm old enough and mature enough to hear the voice of God and obey it. That's how old I am. And that has nothing to do with chronological. If God calls, He's not looking at your age. He's looking at what He can do through you. Amen. And your age becomes irrelevant at that point. Because God is my strength where I am weak. Where I can't reach, God reaches. But He needs and He wants instruments like you and I to be able to use to do the things that He's wanting to do. So, I'm a missionary. Why? Because there's no preacher where I'm at. Because they're not hearing the gospel where I'm at. Because if you come to Houston, Texas, I kind of looked this up. I don't know if I necessarily agree with the numbers, but this is what I looked up on the internet. And by the way, you can't believe everything you hear on the internet. But it says, here in Houston, the population is something like 2,239,000 people. Is that more or less right? More or less. You can take one or two, you know, whatever you want to. It also says that there are over 3,000 churches in Houston alone. That they may have fudged on that. There are probably more than that that we just don't know about. So, this is why I'm a missionary. Because in the town I live in, of 350,000 people with a metroplex area of over 500,000, we have 5 churches. And none of those are on the half of the city where we are at. We're the only church on that side. So this is why we're preaching the gospel in Spain. This is why God calls people to foreign lands. This is why God says to go and reach this city of where there are only 5 churches that are doing something, and where we have 198 towns and cities in our province, because we don't go by states, but in our province we have 198 cities. 22 of those, of all sizes, only 22 of those 198 have an evangelical Protestant witness at all. That's why we're preaching the gospel. That's what we're trying to do. My vision, my goal that I believe that God has given to us is that we're to carry a witness into all 198 of those towns and cities at some point. I may not have enough energy and strength, but I'm going to disciple somebody that's going to do it. I'm going to help get some help in there to get it done. Because they need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. You don't turn on your TV and turn on your radio and get gospel music 24 hours a day or preaching 24 hours a day. Most of them have no concept about what a relationship with God is. They have cultural religiosity, but not a relationship with Jesus Christ. Not a relationship with the Father. Not an indwelling of the Holy Spirit. They have no preacher and therefore they perish. We need to be the preachers in the rest of those small towns. Our plan is God provides the strength and resources to reach as many of those towns as possible. For this reason, we're striving to build a strong mother church, a strong church here in Granada. And in the past, we've done several things like that. This year, we plan to start an outreach, which is one of the things that we have a pamphlet, a trifold out there, if you want to read it later on. And that trifold talks about the restoration ministry that we're beginning to do. Prior to that, we've been involved in all kinds of ministry, of just reaching the lost, bringing them in. University ministry, I think you saw one of the things up there. We have two young people who got saved in the ministry there at the church. And both of them have been gone for the last 9 months, because one of them has been here in the United States finishing their studies, and the other one had gone to France to finish her studies. And now they're coming back in September, and they're going to lead the university ministry again in Granada. We have a university of 60,000 students. It's not a small university. And there are people from all over the world in that university. What can they do if they get saved and graduate and go back to their own homes, go back to their lands, where many of them, it's against the law to preach the gospel, just like it was when we first went to Spain? The university ministry is a vital ministry. The Muslim ministry is a vital ministry. We have Muslims all around us. Now, Spain is not a Muslim country any longer, but we do now have lots of Muslims living there. And what can happen when God gets a hold of the Muslim and changes them and they see God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? Things can change, and the world could be changed. And so we're involved in those ministries. We're involved in trying to reach out to the homeless in our particular area. And there are some. There are quite a few, in fact. So one of the ministries that we're beginning right now is to... We don't have a kitchen. We don't have a facility like this. Praise God for your facility. Amen. You guys ought to come in here every Sunday and every Wednesday and every Friday, Thursday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, whatever. And praise God for this facility. Because I don't see facilities like this where we live. Okay? This building, dedicated to the worship of God. You should rejoice every day for it and give thanks to God for it. But we don't have a kitchen. But what we can do is what we can make sandwiches, we can get drinks, and we can take them to the streets for the homeless. Amen? We can invite them to come in for a meal occasionally into our facility. Not a, you know, home-cooked meal necessarily, because we don't have any facilities to do that kind of stuff, but people can bring things. And so we're involved in that. But the major emphasis for this year, and this is the thing that I really want to share with you before I share a little bit of the scriptures this morning, is our restoration refugee is a ministry to the battered, abused, homeless, prostitutes of our city. Women who are in desperate situations. God laid on Maria's heart years ago. He laid on my heart years ago. Neither one of us talked about it with each other. It was just something that we were praying individually. And then this last year, God said, it's time to begin to do it. So I went to her like I do a lot of times. I go to her and I say, hey, you know, God's placed on my heart that we need to be doing this. She says, yeah, I know. I've already been praying about it because God told me also. You know, I think that's the way God works. So we went to the congregation. We told the congregation, we got a small congregation. We're not rich. We don't have a lot of money in our congregation, especially when you consider that in our city, young people, 50% unemployment, people that are just, you know, in a workforce situation, 35% unemployment. We have a lot of people in our congregation unemployed and underemployed. But God always meets and makes a way. So this ministry we presented to the people, we know that it's going to take finances to do it. We know it's going to take people to do it. We don't have enough people and we don't have enough finances to be able to carry this ministry out. But when God says to do something, you do it and God makes the way. Amen? As long as we're willing to sit on the banks of the river without putting our feet in or extending our rods out, we're going to sit on the banks the rest of our lives, and the things that God wants to do through you here will never happen. What God wants to do through us in Spain will never happen. It's only when you decide, when you take the determination and say, God has spoken. If God speaks, We may not know the way, we may not know how, we may not know the finances, but God already has all that in place. It'll work if we'll just step out and do it. So that's what we're doing this year. I went to the congregation and said, God has laid upon us this vision. And everybody got excited. Nobody said, Pastor, we don't have the money for that. Nobody said, we don't have enough people to run that thing. We're not trained in that. They said, praise God. God has been laying that on my heart. God spoke to me about we need to be doing something like that. People were excited. And now we're in the process of trying to find the right facility. We're in the process of trying to find the right funding. We're trying in the process of letting God just be God. Amen? And so I'm praying, I'm believing that we're going to open this facility either this summer or by September. I'm believing God for that. We've been negotiating with the government to see if one of the local governments to see if they will donate us land or a facility so that we can use that. Lately, they've been kind of wanting to get their politics involved. In God and politics, you know, not when the politics want to rule God. We're just not going to go down that path. If they want to donate it and say, you can use this, and we're going to say, we donated the land, I don't care who gets that kind of credit, they can have it. But they can't tell us what we're going to do, because what we're going to do is we're going to be 24 hours a day, God inside that facility and outside that facility. We want to see women that come that have no place to live. You saw some of them in the video. Some that are already in our congregation that need help in the congregation of the Lord there. We want to bring them in, share the gospel with them, let them make the decision for Christ, whether they will serve Him or not. We want to restore their self-worth and value. We want to train them in things. We want to build them up again and make them a viable part of society. We want them to feel that God has a purpose for their life. We want to... Excuse me. We want to just do what God wants us to do in that aspect, so that we can not keep them in this refuge forever, but allow them to go on into society again and work and have self-value. So part of that is we're asking God not just for a building. We're asking God for a building with some land. And we don't need 3 acres. We just need enough for a little garden. And a few tents, because I like to camp. Okay. No. And so, never get to go, but love it. So we want a little bit of land where we can put in a garden. Because I think gardening is therapeutic. I don't know a weed from a plant, honestly. That's true. But we want to put in a garden so that these women can till the land, they can plant the seed, they can weed it, they can water it, they can watch it grow, and they can produce something that will produce value in them also. We've talked to everybody about this place that we're going to start. I talk to people who aren't Christians. I don't care. We're talking to everyone. I talk to doctors. I talk to nurses. I talk to university professors. We're talking to everybody about this place. And everyone's saying, when you get that started, I want to be a part of it. I had a Muslim lady that I've been witnessing to for the last 5 years. Lost contact with her. She called me the other day and said, Wade, can I come by and visit with you? Sure, come by. Praise God. We started sharing with her about this refuge. And she says, I want to be a part of that. She's also the lady that told me a few years ago that one day I will be her pastor. Well, maybe it's about to happen. She wants to be a part of that. She says, she just finished her doctorate. I was helping her through her dissertation at the time. And so she finished her doctorate about a year ago. And then she says, I can be a part of that because now I am the person who certifies the food handlers for the city. So I can come here and give a course to them, train them, and certify them so that they can go out and get jobs as food handlers in the city. Praise God! If God can use a donkey, He can use a Muslim. I don't care. You know, she's not there preaching Islam. She's there to bring something else. We'll be preaching God. We have another nurses that said, as soon as you start it, we want to be a part of it. This nurse, by the way, called me the other day and she said, Wade, said, next time you do one of those talks you do, that's called preaching the gospel. Next time you do one of those little talks you do, will you invite me? I want to hear what you got to say. I said, yes, ma'am. You're invited. We want you to come. So God's doing things there. If you're 25 years of age, you can go to university in Spain. All you got to do is pass this little test, and we have people who will help them, prepare them to be able to pass the test. They'll get into the university. They can go to university for free. We have other people that have come and said, I will teach. I know how to restore furniture. I'll teach them how to restore furniture so that they can get a job restoring furniture. We have all kinds of people who are saying, we didn't have anybody that could do anything of this. And we just said, we're going to do it. And God said, I'll send the people in. We had a family call us from the United States. They got four little children. Can't speak Spanish. Marvelous thing. Is there anybody that can't speak Spanish? Oh! Anyway, so we have this family that called us the other day. Four young children. He said, God has spoken to us and told us to come help you in Spain in the ministry. I said, praise God. Can you speak Spanish? Nope. I said, start learning. Study. You're going to need it. We don't speak English here, so you're going to need it. Anyway, they're trying to get their finances in order to be able to come in September. What's the burden of their heart? Exactly what God is starting in Spain this year. So God's sending in the workers. Amen? So these are the things, some of the things that God is doing. And I tried to resume it in a nutshell because I really want to share very quickly a couple of scriptures with you this morning. Romans chapter 10, verse 12 and 17. It's about the need of the gospel. I could share with you hours and hours and hours the things that God has done miraculously over the last 37 years that we've been in the ministry. The last 37 years, when we went to the mission field, we loaded our two children in a Volkswagen Rabbit and took off, and all of our possessions were in that thing. We didn't have anybody saying, Wade, we're going to support you with $20 a month. We just knew that God had sent us. And for the last 37 years, God has met every single need that we've had. Amen? And He's met it abundantly. He's done well. He won't fail you if you just listen to His voice and are obedient. Romans 10, 12 and 17 says, For there is no difference between the Jew or Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The people of Spain need to hear the word of God. The people of Houston need to hear the word of God. I don't deny the need of Houston, Texas, because God placed Spain on my heart. Both need to hear the gospel. And we are the instruments of God to be used to do that. Something interesting about God was before I ever knew anything about Him in reality, He was already working in my life. Now get this. As a child, I had not gone to Spain. I had not seen anything about Spain. But God placed a love in my heart for Spain. I wasn't even saved yet. He was preparing me for what He was going to do in the future. And He put that love for that country in my heart. I didn't know much about it. I'd read some books. When the opportunity at 17 years of age came for me to go, I went. And that's where I've been spending most of my life ever since. First 7 years, I wasn't a believer, but I needed to be in Spain. And now, then I got saved. Praise God. And we've been preaching the gospel ever since. Now, according to the gospel, everyone's the same. Whether you're in Houston, Spain, Greek or Jew, everyone's the same. Romans 3:23 says, For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen? Everyone needs to come to know Jesus Christ. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Those that believe, those that truly repent and believe, they shall be saved. They will call upon the Lord. Isaiah 56:6 says, 55:6 says, Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. One of the things that I am preaching continuously in the congregation in Granada is we are at the last minutes of what we know of this earth as it is now. I believe that we are at the very, very edge of the rapture. I believe that the coming of the Lord is very soon. I believe that things are going to change radically, very quickly. And so the time must be redeemed. The time has to be, we have to take advantage of that, and we have to get out and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to these people that they might hear. Isaiah 21 verse 6 says, For thus hath the Lord said unto me, Go set a watchman, let him declare what he seeth. When I travel around Spain and when I'm when I look outside of my window and I can look up, we live in a very privileged place, honestly. God was super special to us. And he sent us to a really privileged place. We're 30 minutes from the Mediterranean Sea and the beach, which my wife likes. And we're surrounded by the mountains, which I like. So we got a world-class ski resort, and we got the Mediterranean Sea. You can literally snow ski and water ski the same day. Literally. Because you can look out at that mountain, and it's almost snow-capped 365 days a year. You can go up there. But when I look out of my window, I see this huge palace. It's got a watchtower. And every time I see that, I think about this scripture. And every time I travel through and I see all these watchtowers all across the land, because at one point when the war was going on for that 870 years, they kept building these watchtowers so that people could run to those watchtowers and be safe. It also served to transmit a message. They could literally send a message from one part, one side of Spain to the other side of Spain in just a matter of hours and never touch the ground. And I think of this scripture every time I see one of those watchtowers. Set a watchman. Let him declare what he sees. I am a watchman for the Lord here. What do I see? I see a dark land in need of gospel. I see a land that needs to hear the message of Jesus Christ. I see souls that are perishing because no one has told them about that eternal hope. What do I see? I see the light beginning to flicker. I see the light of God beginning to come into that dark land. I see that God is beginning to open up, and I believe with all my heart that soon it will burst forth. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not obeyed the gospel. 1 Corinthians 14:8 says, For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself in battle? That's the problem in Spain. The Catholic Church has become culturally relevant, but irrelevant spiritually in our country. A reaction to the Muslim invasion. It became totally cultural. The message is uncertain. It's untrue. It's not sounding sharply. It's not resonating with people. It's not telling them the truth of you must repent and receive Christ, or the alternative is to perish and be separated from Him. It's not doing that. So who are the preachers? Just a few. But those few can turn the world upside down if they're allowed to continue. We need to hear the right message. In verse 17 it says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." 2 Timothy 3:15 says, "The Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is Christ Jesus." What do we preach them? I don't take them American lifestyle. I don't celebrate all the American holidays with the Spanish people. I don't celebrate and tell them, you know, you got to wear this or you got to wear that or you got to do it the way we do it in America. Nope. That's culture. Part of the church in America has a lot of American culture in it. Amen. I just tell them, you need to have the Word of God. The Word of God will change you. The Word of God will not tell you, you can't, you can't, you can't. The Word of God will tell you, you can. You can become an overcomer. You can be saved. You can know that your salvation today. You can have these things and know and walk in victory in the midst of the turmoil. Amen? I just shared a few things with you. I tried to do it very quickly. And now I'm just going to be quiet. Thank you. God bless you, Pastor.